A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, October the 4th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mplanganyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, Zimbabwe is expected to join 12 other African countries at the 2015 Microeconomic and Financial Management Institute, MEFMI, Combined Forum for Ministers of Finance and Economic Planning, Central Bank Governors, Treasury Secretaries, and Heads of National Planning Commission meeting Tuesday in Lima, Peru. 25 villagers of Chomfuli Farm in Gutu in Mashingo Province faced intimidation and eviction by members of the National Army, with the Army being accused of not respecting a peace order against them filed by the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights.
The 25 are all holders of offer letters, valid offer letters for that matter. The argument being advanced by the Zimbabwe National Army now is that the Zimbabwe National Army was allocated that particular farm in 1980.
And the leader of the Gays and Lesbian Association of Zimbabwe, Chesterfield Samba, says it was not easy for him to come out, but thanks his family for supporting him after he made the brave move.
I wasn't ready to come out, but I think it happened. Things just happen when you grow up, when I interacted with girls.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. Zimbabwe is expected to join 12 other African countries at the 2015 Microeconomic and Financial Management Institute MEFMI Combined Forum. The forum is for ministers of finance and economic planning, central bank governors, treasury secretaries, and heads of national planning commissions. The meeting will be held this Tuesday in Lima, Peru. MEFMI comprises 14 member countries, and these are Angola, Botswana, Burundi, Kenya, Lesotho, Malawi, Mozambique, Namibia, Rwanda, Swaziland, Tanzania, Uganda, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa and the Reserve Bank Governor John Mangungira are expected to be at the meeting. The meeting will run under the theme Leveraging on Natural Resources for Economic Transformation. Amongst other things, they are also expected to discuss topics on taxation of natural resources, principles and policy issues, transforming depleting natural resources into income growth, sovereign wealth fund management, managing Africa's revenues in search of stability and diversification. Twenty-five villagers of Chomfuli Farm in Gutu in Mashingo Province face intimidation and eviction by members of the National Army in Mashingo, with the Army being accused of not respecting a peace order against them filed by the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. The Army members are from the 4.2 Infantry Battalion, a base camp which is near Chomfuli Farm. Philip Shumba of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri on the issue.
We are representing the affected families as the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. In fact, what happened is we obtained a peace order against the Zimbabwe National Army, and that order is still binding in that it has never been challenged nor set aside. So our position is that the Army, whether they have an agreement or not, they should abide by the terms of the order, because if they disregard that order, then their behavior definitely is contemptuous. So at the moment, we are contemplating approaching the court with an application for contempt of court.
When was this order that the Army is not respecting obtained?
No, about two months ago.
And how many families are affected by these evictions?
There are 25 families And among the student families, there are A1 farmers as well as A2 farmers.
But these people were settled there after they were issued with resettlement offer letters. How come now that the army is challenging this?
Indeed, that is correct. The 25 are all holders of offer letters, valid offer letters for that matter. The argument being advanced by the Zimbabwe National Army now is that the Zimbabwe National Army was allocated that particular farm in 1980. So the argument is that the subsequent offer letters were issued erroneously to the 25 families.
We also understand that politics is also being used to evict these villagers. Is this true?
Indeed, they told me that they are being harassed, that they now belong to the opposition party.
That was Philip Shumba of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaking to Jonga Kandemiri from Mashingo. The leader of the Gays and Lesbians Association of Zimbabwe Girls, Chesterville Disamba, says it was not easy for him to come out, but thanks his family for supporting him after he made the brave move. Samba was in New York last week where he received a Courage Award at an event held on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly. Meanwhile, ironically, President Robert Mugabe deviated from his prepared speech at the United Nations General Assembly and emphatically said the country was not gay. Samba says this did not deter him and he will continue fighting for gay rights. He tells us more on how he came out.
Your family will always be your family. I think that's where our focus is, to ensure that LGBTI people enjoy the support of their families. I think we always say blood is thicker than water, so you never lose the support of your family simply because of your sexual orientation. And I think I enjoy the support of my family simply because we are one and we are one family. And I would want to continue that my family continues to support me and enjoy a very good relationship with them. So it's important that as LGBTI people, we gain acceptance of our families first before we tackle the broader community outside, which is much more brutal than having or winning the acceptance of your family members.
But how did you personally come out?
I wasn't ready to come out, but I think it happened. Things just happen when you grow up. When I interacted with girls, it was also at a time when I was looking for employment and looking for opportunities. And at that time, I think letter writing was still common. So yes, my parents stumbled on a letter from girls and they opened it. Coincidentally, I had my name and details in there, which sort of then confirmed that I had links with a gay organization in Zimbabwe. And I was challenged to that fact, but I wasn't ready to talk to my family at that point, but I had no choice. I had to come out.
So now that you have come out, what are you enjoying that you were not before you had come out?
I think I'm free. I don't need to explain why I'm living with a man or staying alone or attracted to men or not yet married. And I don't have to hide that fact from anybody else. So it gives me some sense of liberation. And I would want what I'm going through at the moment to be enjoyed by everybody else who's also finding it very difficult to be who they are in an environment like Zimbabwe. I think that's where also I get my strength to continue the work that I'm doing with girls.
Just to conclude, if you had a chance to change the perception, especially of people in Zimbabwe, what would you say to them?
I think what we need is for us to continue to have these conversations, however difficult they are. We need to continue to find ways of creating safe spaces where we have these conversations and people get to understand and see who the LGBTI people are. Basically, it's the people that you know, somebody that you know, could be your own brother, your own father, your own mother, or your own sister. So we're basically discriminating our own. So we need to be able to create those platforms where people get to interact and meet with gay people and hear their challenges and hear their stories. That will get to better understand their lives.
That was the Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe head, Chesterfield Samba. The Employers' Confederation of Zimbabwe, MCOS, last week filed an application at the High Court challenging the government's new Labour Amendment Act. The law was crafted to counter the July 17th Supreme Court ruling, which left thousands of workers jobless. The director of MCOS, John Mufukari, confirmed the move and told Studio 7 from Victoria Falls that there were many areas in the Labour Amendment Act that needed to be revisited by the courts, taking into account the country's constitution. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri spoke to the president of the Congress of Zimbabwean Trade Unions, Lovemore Matombo, for his perspective on the issue.
Our take is that maybe the employers need to appreciate one thing, that the amendment went through the necessary stages in Parliament as from July. And in all cases, the issues were brought before Parliament by all key stakeholders. And we were all consulted about this issue. What then happened is that the entire legislature did agree on one thing. The two main political parties, they were all in agreement that the outcome of the Supreme Court had prejudiced the entire working people, including those who were fired using the Supreme Court judgment. So under the same aspect, I think the employers need to appreciate one thing, that the legislature is independent, just as good as the judiciary is independent and the executive. And therefore, the outcome of this thing, I'm not quite sure whether they will be successful. But as far as we are concerned, I think the legislature itself did its job.
As workers, are you satisfied with this Labour Act?
We are not in any way closer to any satisfaction in respect to the outcome of this amendment.
And as employees, do you see this move by the employers affecting you in any way?
Obviously, it will affect us. If the Concord suggested that the employers a case, it will affect us, obviously, because, look, what that means is that the rest of those people who were fired before the amendment should not receive any compensation. Never mind how little it is. The issue is that they do not want to pay any person who was affected by the Supreme Court before the amendment of the Labour Act. So it will even be more disastrous on our part. And it might create chaos in this country if it is allowed to stand.
That was the president of the Congress of Zimbabwean Trade Unions, Lovemore Matombo, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930-4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by 2015 Mandela Washington Fellow alum, and that is Promise Muleya. Promise, thank you so very much for joining me.
Thank you, Tatenda.
Promise, we know that you were just selected to be one of the Southern Africa Regional Advisory Board members for the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program. Congratulations, first of all, and tell us more about this position.
Thank you. I'm glad, and thank you for all the people that voted for me and entrusted me into this leadership position. So in a nutshell, the Regional Advisory Board is it consists of three regions. We have the West Africa region, the Eastern Africa, and the Southern Africa region. And I'm representing Southern Africa region, Regional Advisory Board. And 10 slots were allocated for each Regional Advisory Board.
And what is the purpose of this board?
Post the Mandela Washington experience that we had in America, Now we are back into our own country, so we'll be advising the partner organizations in terms of the Africa-based programs. As you would know, we have the professional practicums. So those that are going to be selected, they can apply for professional practicums to gain further experience in terms of on-job training, build on and expand their network. And also we have got these speaker-assisted grants.
And how important has it been to have these programs back at home?
It has been very, very helpful, Tatenda, because you would imagine that we had an experience in the U.S. and we met to build the networks, to build a personal relationship with people across civic leadership, business, and entrepreneurship, you name it. And now we are coming back on the ground. And as we are on the ground, sometimes there is the need for fellows to consistently being supported in terms of what they want to do, you know. So we have built a relationship in the U.S. We come back home, and we've got a project, a program that we want to grow down the way. So IRS and USAID is coming on board to say, we want to support you, we want to capacitate you, we want to support all your programs that you are already doing and building on what you gain from the U.S.
For you, since you've returned back home to Zimbabwe, how have things been? Has the environment been conducive?
Well, the environment is not conducive, Tatenda. As you know, as a country, we are going through a lot of economic troubles in almost every sector. Ideally, we are in an island of prosperity amidst an ocean of poverty. We have these 24-hour electricity blackouts. And you would imagine that if you want to work on a simple document, you want to type something on your laptop, literally you're hindered from that. You know? But not withstanding that, we have to do it, you know. We have to try.
And of course, you represent the alumni, but right now, the Mandela Washington Fellowship for 2016 application is open. Let us know what those who are listening, who are interested in this program, should know.
For the potential candidates that are listening now, what I want to say to you is that the Mandela Washington Fellowship is a life-changing experience, and it's really for us Africans. Yes, people can talk all they want to say. It's a brainwashing experience by the United States government, etc., etc. Okay, forget that. There's nothing called brainwashing unless you are stupid yourself. You know, no one can brainwash you. No one can brainwash myself. I've studied through the Zimbabwean system. I went through the university and so forth. So I'm a human being, complete individual, able to take my own decisions. So this experience is up to you to grab. And what does it look? It looks for leaders that are conscious of their communities, leaders that are ready to inspire other people, not basically looking at leaders as an official position or some sort, but leadership built along the legacies of Mandela.
With that promise, we'd like to say thank you so very much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much, Zimbabwe. Thank you very much, all those that are listening.
Thanks again to Promise Muleya, a 2015 Mandela Washington Fellowship alum, and now the 2015 Southern Africa Regional Advisory Board member. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, make sure you join me next time.
This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. Zimbabwe is expected to join 12 other African countries at the 2015 Microeconomic and Financial Management Institute, MEFMIS, Combined Forum for Ministers of Finance and Economic Planning, Central Bank Governors, Treasury Secretaries, and Heads of National Planning Commission, meeting in Lima, Peru on Tuesday. And 25 villagers of Chomfuli Farm in Gutu in Mashingo face intimidation and eviction by members of the National Army from the 4.2 Infantry Battalion, with the army being accused of not respecting a peace order against them filed by the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, October the 4th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.